Your company website is crucial to your success. Providing information about your services and programs, it has to deliver just the right message the right way to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com. If you run a business, large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes, because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCbizradio.com. This show is about real ideas, real people, real businesses, real success stories. It's all about how you can get ahead in today's business world. We share business and marketing strategies to get you ahead in today's world. Each week, we feature a high-profile guest. Special thank you to Jack Friedler, who we had on last week from City View Commercial on the real estate market. And we ask our guests the questions that are on your mind. This week, we have a very, very special guest. On the line with us, we have none other than Steven Sadov, the former chairman and CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue and Saks Incorporated, and current advisor for numerous companies, including Colgate, Palmolive, JCPenney, Aramark, and Ruby Tuesday. Some more background about our distinguished guest. As I mentioned, Steve was the chairman and CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue from 2006 to 2013. Under his leadership, Saks experienced tremendous growth. Steven is credited with fostering Saks' omni-culture and omni-channel business. He currently sits on the board of directors of numerous companies, and he serves on the board of directors and the executive committee of the National Retail Federation. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Steven Sadov. Steven, thank you for being with us tonight.
Happy to be here.
Thank you again. And a special shout out to JG, Jonathan Gassman, that great connector who afforded us the opportunity to speak with you today. In preparations for this interview, Steve, I noticed that your grandfather owned a mom-and-pop clothing business in upstate New York many moons ago. Is it the family roots that got you into fashion retail?
No, I don't think so. But it was we did have a retail store in upstate New York in Lake Placid. He had emigrated from Russia and ended up in Lake Placid and had a little women's and men's clothing store. And I remember to this day, back in the 1950s, going back to that store and the musty old wood and the clothing. But he was buying, you know, and there's so much you can learn from that, because he was buying for individual customers that he knew. And that's sort of, it's come full circle, because that's what retailers are doing today. But no, I sort of went a different direction. I spent 20-some-odd years in the consumer goods industry, many years at what's now Kraft, and many years at Bristol-Myers running the non-pharmaceutical businesses. I ended up in retail through the board. I was on the board of Saks when the company went public, and several years later, they asked me to run the company.
Wow. Now, for the benefit of our listeners, can you explain omni-channel and omni-culture? What is that in retail?
Well, it's the way the consumer's thinking today. Consumers, because of technology, the internet, mobile, they want products anywhere, anytime that they want to get them, and they want them in any way that they please. They have the power. And omni-channel is essentially creating the ability to service the customer in the way that they want it. So they might want to buy online and pick it up in a store. They might want to buy it on the internet and ship it to their house. They might want to go to a store. You need to have the culture in an organization and the systems and technologies to be able to let the customer do that. It's not so simple. You legacy systems, meaning the way that it used to be, you'd have a separate inventory, a separate database for the internet, and a separate one for the stores. And you had to figure out a way of merging all of that.
And of course, we're going to get to more on that subject during the course of our discussion this evening. Now, Stephen, as you were the one to bring Saks.com into the limelight as really one of luxury, one of the luxury channel's most advanced websites, can you tell us a little bit about the process of creating an online presence for a retail giant?
Well, it wasn't easy, and it didn't happen in one step. I think it was, you know, we started this right around, you know, as early as, you know, let's call it the 2000 timeframe and late 90s, and it was very small. We were sharing all of the resources with the, you know, our regular stores, and we were trying to be very scrappy. And I think that, you know, you build it bit by bit, and it started off very small. And I think that, you know, it actually it went through a number of iterations. First, we were tiny and a little merry band, and then it we started integrating it more with the stores as it got bigger and bigger. Then it went independent, and now it's being merged back with the stores again in terms of the purchasing. And but the technology evolved enormously over that 10-15 year period.
Fascinating. Now, if we could talk a little bit about the distribution side before we get back to online and brick and mortar. You it was on your watch, but more than that, it was under your leadership that you brought robotic technology to Saks's distribution centers. Maybe you can elaborate why is this new technology, the robotic technology, is so important for efficiency?
Well, the robotics actually had a lot to do with the internet growth. We were exploding in terms of growth. We had a distribution center where we had people. You've got to envision all this orders coming into the internet, and lots of people running around our distribution center trying to figure out how to pick them all the orders. And in the middle of probably one of the biggest and most important decisions we made in the middle of the recession was essentially watching the growth of the internet, watching the consumer wanting to get fast delivery. And we said, we're going to invest in the technology of the robotics to be able to pick the orders much faster with much higher degree of accuracy. And we implemented it in our distribution center in Aberdeen, Maryland, and it made an enormous difference, not just in terms of the customer experience, because it made it faster and you know, again, more accurate, but also it reduced our costs dramatically and paid itself back relatively quickly.
Now, anytime a company invests in new technology, there is also, you know, potential pitfalls. Is there any way that a company could, you know, keep their eye on that in order to make sure that they don't that the transition is smooth, if you will?
Well, it's not just a question of smooth transition. You're absolutely right. There are all kinds of pitfalls. I think the biggest issue that's being faced today relative to the technology is that there's so much of it out there. There are so many alternatives and options, not just each with their own pitfalls, but each company, what's right for one company isn't necessarily right for another company. And if you aren't careful, you can spend all of your time investing in different technologies and not really keeping your eye on the business. And you know, I had so many different technologies coming at us, and some of them, what might be right for Macy's may not be right for Saks. And so you had to really look at it through a lens of limited resources. You could only spend so much on technology, and you had to pick the ones that really were going to drive a significant difference in the business.
In case you're just tuned in, you're listening to an amazing Mind Your Business show. We have on the line with us Stephen Sadov, the former chairman and CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue and current advisor for numerous companies, including Colgate, Palmolive, JCPenney, Aramark, Ruby Tuesday, right here on 77 WABC. Stephen, being on the executive committee of the National Retail Federation, and of course in your role as in your previous role as CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, what do you think are the disruptors in the changing face of retail today?
Well, I think that I don't know the word destructor is the right word. I'd say disruptor.
Okay.
And you have a disruption going on in retail, and the disruption's a little bit what I would describe as the power shift going from the retailer to the consumer. The consumer has all the information. So the technology, the internet, mobile, the omni-channel is changing the rules of the game. And what's happening is that used to be that who would you go to for expertise if you wanted to buy something? Well, you'd rely on the store brand and you'd rely on the associate. Now you'll whip out your smartphone and you'll punch in a few numbers or names and you'll get all the information you want. You'll get product reviews. If you go into a store and try something on, instead of asking the associate, what do you think this looks like? You might very well take a selfie and send pictures to your friends.
Right.
And you might read what the bloggers are saying about something. So, and if you're worried about the price, instead of wondering, do I have the best price, you'll just go on an app or you'll go on somebody's website and you can compare prices on items instantaneously. So it's forcing retailers to sell differentiated product. So that if you're selling the same thing that the guy next door is selling, that the lowest common denominator is going to become price. So what you really need to do is now focus on how do you sell things that aren't being sold by everybody else.
Now, of course, a lot of the points you're touching on, I'm going to come from different angles because it's so important for anyone in retail today. So now I'd like to approach it from this angle. How would you say that social media and the increased mobile communication, how has that interplayed with online e-commerce?
Well, I'll go back to my grandfather for a second because he had a line which I loved, which was, it's a whole new world. And he was always talking about the whole new world. And that's the way that I would describe where we are today. Social media is an important piece of it. The I would guess somewhere in the neighborhood of 75% of all purchase decisions, that's a huge number, are being affected by the mobile. It's not saying they're actually buying it on their phone or their iPad, but what they're doing is it's affecting it. They may be asking their friends. They may be researching. Nobody goes into a car showroom blind. They'll go in there knowing the car they want, the color, the options. They've done all the research. I recently went and bought some beds, and I walked in there, and it's easy enough to just go price compare to whatever else is out there in the marketplace. So social media and the rise of the smartphone, what people are saying on the web, how the bloggers are writing about things, that's transforming the way that people shop.
Amazing, just fascinating. And beginning with the rise of the internet, and now, of course, with mobile, is there, and of course, this is a biggie that we're going to touch on now, the role and the interplay between brick and mortar and online?
Well, I think there was a period of time when the internet started rising where everyone said, oh my gosh, stores are going to go away.
Right.
I heard that 5-10 years ago. There's not going to be a reason for a store.
Right.
The reality is that there's a reason for both. And in fact, what you're finding more and more is that the internet-only players are seeing that when they open up in a store, either they'll do a pop-up shop in a store, or they'll open up their own retailer outlet. They're seeing a big growth in their internet business. And what you're seeing is the interplay between the two is what's winning. So, for example, at Saks, we saw that when a customer shopped online and in a store, they bought 3 or 4 times as much product.
Hmm.
You look at a Warby Parker, which is a hot glass eyeglass company.
Yep.
They're opening up pop-up shops in Nordstrom. Bonobos, which is a successful internet player, opened up stores within Nordstrom. So you're finding that a number of, somebody like a Rent the Runway opening up their own stores. So what you're seeing is that the internet companies are finding that there's a reason why for having a store. Some people want to go to the store. There's a reason to tactily touch the product. So I do think that the store isn't going away. You may not need as many of them in the future, but I certainly think, and I think you're going to see a lot of relationships like the ones I described with Bonobos between retailers and internet brands as the wave of the future.
Yeah, and of course, what you're saying is so true and obvious to people in the industry, but I refer to a... Stephen, you're there, correct?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I referred to an article I saw on a couple of days ago, October 21st, in Chain Store Age, where they interviewed a senior vice president at Sears who made the following comment, wrote, 60% of online sales are multi-channel in nature, meaning a store was involved in the online transaction. You know, like just like what you were saying, the interplay between online, brick and mortar. Yeah. And
right.
So you see them supporting each other.
Oh, absolutely. Now, all kinds of implications. Where we started, you have to have the technology to be able to move the product around. You know, suppose you have separate inventories. If you had an inventory for just the internet and you ran out of the product, you might have 100 of them sitting in a store that are going to be a markdown.
Right.
So that you've got to be able to move the product around and understand where you have the inventory. So when someone orders online and picks it up in store, you've got to know what the real-time inventory is in the store because what happens if the consumer goes there and the product isn't there.
Right.
So you've got to be able to move it around seamlessly, and that requires investment. It's not it's not just automatic that stuff takes place.
Fascinating. We're speaking with Mr. Stephen Sato, former chairman and CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue and current advisor for many companies, including Colgate-Palmolive, JCPenney, Aramark, Ruby Tuesday, right here in the Mind Your Business program with Yisroch Saftlis on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Stephen, many shoppers search for a product online, and we touched on this, but again, I want to come from a different angle and just say, embellish it. They search for a product online, then they compare prices between websites. How can a retailer motivate that customer so that they complete that purchase on their site?
Well, if it's the same product that is offered elsewhere, yes, you can differentiate yourself on better service, a better shopping experience, but it's going to be tough because the customer really wants the lowest price, and value price becomes important in the equation. That's why if you're a JCPenney or if you're a Macy's, if you're a Kohl's, you're selling as much as half of your product is differentiated, meaning that you can't get it elsewhere. It might be own brand. It might be exclusive product from a national brand. And you're going to have to find a way of being different than the others. Best Buy is trying to differentiate itself on the Geek Squad or having exclusive SKUs that you can't get elsewhere. So you've got to find a basis of competition. Otherwise, because of price transparency, it's going to go to the lowest price.
Hmm. So on that point, if I could stay at it for a moment, any branding advice for a national retailer to remain unique and relevant?
Well, I think that it's important that you have the brands. That's part of what builds your credibility. And, somebody like JCPenney has brands that are their own brand that are major national brands. But I think that it's important brand. One of the things we learned during the recession is that consumers value brands. Even in the depths of the recession, their relationship with the brand became even more highly cemented. And people value the brands, and it's a relationship that's important. So I think that keeping brands and elevating and supporting the brands is critical for the retailers, but they have to look at what is their point of differentiation going to be, and is it going to be brands that nobody else has, or is it going to be a very high level of service? If I go back to a Saks Fifth Avenue, it's much more driven by having unique product, fashion-forward product, but a very high level of service. Most of the products that you see at Saks aren't discounted. You're not going to find a Louis Vuitton handbag discounted regardless of where you go. So different segments, you have different bases of competition.
Hmm. Now, if we could now veer a little bit towards the marketing side of the retail fashion, the fashion retail industry. For years, obviously marketing is always about reaching people in the way that they consume their content. So there was print catalogs, TV, radio, billboards, print media, etc. And then, of course, 10, 15 years ago, there's the shift towards online marketing where everything is gone. Over the last 2-3 years, there's this trend back into print initiatives. What is your suggestion for a retailer in terms of the mix of the multi-channel marketing approach?
Well, there's no one-size-fits-all answer to that one. What I would say is that digital is increasingly becoming important. If I look at most major consumer goods companies, digital's probably in the 20-30% of the total advertising spend. You have the ability now with things like Facebook Analytics and some of the data that companies like MasterCard have to pinpoint your marketing at such a fine level that you can really have a very customized message as opposed to just blasting it out on television. And, you know, with television, I worry because people will skip the commercials anyway. They'll tape them and just run through the commercials very quickly. So digital is playing a much more important role than it has in the past, and I think it will continue to do so. Now, the print, the resurgence in things like catalogs is all tying to the targeting and the segmentation work that you can do, because you can customize them. You can make you can offer variations of the catalogs, of the print materials that are important and meaningful to that individual. So I do think that there's a role for that to be played in the mix. But I do think that the day of just everybody putting their money into national television is gone.
Wow. So, but yet at the same time, multi-channel is key. Mobile advertising and
all of them, and retargeting. You can, we used to have, if you were shopping on Saks.com and you left Saks and you went to CNN, a pop-up ad would come on CNN to send you back to Saks, and that's all part of retargeting. So it's not saying that it's not one size fits all. There's a role for, look, if I'm Budweiser, there's a major role for national television because it provides the reach.
Right.
But you have this ability through the analytics to be able to market to a customer of one. And remember when we started, I said my grandfather used to be able to know every customer and what they really wanted and buy for them.
Right.
With the data capabilities and analytics today, you can do that as a large retailer.
Hmm. And amazing that comment you mentioned about your grandfather, about it's a different world. And now living in today's world, I was like, what? It was a different world then? Like, what? It's a very different world today. Staying on the topic of marketing, is there a formula for a percentage that a company's gross revenue of a national retailer should assign towards its marketing budget?
I really don't think so. I don't see a percent. I've seen companies do 5%. I've seen companies do 10%. As much as anything, it's the effectiveness of the dollars and how far they go. I mean, I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I ran a company called Clairol, and we created a brand called Herbal Essence Shampoo. And it was the one where the woman was having the organic experience in the shower, and it was, we were being outspent by Pantene 10-1, and we were getting the awareness that Pantene was getting. So, and this many years ago. So it's as much the quality of the marketing and how well it's targeted and how effective it is, more so than just the dollars that are being spent. But I do see numbers in the 5-10 range.
Wow. Now, moving back, and you touched on this earlier, moving back to the interaction between the online world and brick-and-mortar stores, we find that now you have some online retailers, like you mentioned, Warby Parker, that they're actually opening up some on-site retail locations. Is this a trend? Will this continue? What's your take on that?
No question it's going to continue. I think you're going to see more and more of it. I see there's a wonderful little retailer I was with the other day called Shoes of Prey. That's customized shoes that are for women that they're now opening up inside of Nordstrom's. Nordstrom, I think, has done a great job in terms of innovating and trying a number of these new initiatives. But people are, you have another number of internet companies that are opening up their own stores. So I think that that's going to continue to become more and more the wave of the future.
Okay. Now, in terms of Amazon, we know that's, I shouldn't say the elephant in the room, or maybe it is. I would imagine that that is a threat to major retailers. What suggestions do you have to the retailers so that they position themselves and stay relevant and, could land the sales instead of an Amazon?
Well, I think that it goes back to this issue of differentiated product. Amazon sets the rules in the sense that if Amazon is offering Amazon Prime or they're offering free shipping, free returns, whatever it's going to be, that's going to be the table stakes that everybody has to compete with. And everybody follows Amazon in things like product reviews or how they show the product. So, Amazon can't be ignored even by competitors that say, well, I don't compete with Amazon, because the consumer is looking at Amazon as a gold standard for another number of things. I do think the answer in the end is through a differentiated either product or experience. You go into a Saks, use that as an example, and the relationship and the service that you get, you're not going to get it in Amazon. If you look at a JCPenney or a Macy's and you look at half the product that they sell is not available anywhere else other than their own store, or if I go to J. Crew and all these specialty stores, that's all they sell is their own brand. It's all about the differentiated product. If I'm a commoditized product, then I think you're going to have a hard time competing in the Amazon world.
Wow. In case you're just tuned in, we're speaking with Stephen Sadoff, former chairman and CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue and current advisor for numerous companies, including Colgate-Palmolive, JCPenney, Aramark, Ruby Tuesday. There's some great perspective here. In case you just tuned in, this will be available on our podcast and all the previous shows, the interview with Matt Britton and Stephen Aldridge and Simeon Friedman, so many of our previous guests, including Captain Sullenberger. It's all there on the iTunes. The easiest way to find it is by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Well, Stephen, here's a question that if there's anyone out there to ask, it's you, and that is the crossroads or the interplay between fashion brands and technological advancements. And I'll, for example, talk about the Apple iWatch. Is that a threat to a Cartier? Where are the lines blurred? How do you make sense to all that?
Well, I think longer term, there probably is some degree of threat. I don't know if it is right now or not. You certainly have a lot of people who are wearing the smart watches, and I do think that's wearable technology is going to become more and more important in the future. You have whether it's going to be the Fitbit types of products or the Apple watches. I think that before it's going to take away from the Cartier watches, it's going to have to offer enough in the way of benefits that the consumer is going to say, I don't want to wear my really nice piece of jewelry. Whatever it's going to be, a $399 watch versus a $10,000 Cartier watch. People are wearing them for different reasons, but you can't wear two watches at once, so there's going to have to be some degree of interplay. I haven't seen it dramatically affect the very high-end segment of the watch market yet.
Now, would you recommend that a luxury fashion retailer carry such a product, like the Apple iWatch?
I think over time, I'm not so sure you're there yet. You're still in the earliest gestation phase, but it wouldn't surprise me to see some of the fine Swiss brands start to play in the technology space. It's a little bit different. I remember when many, many years ago when some of the calculator watches and the Casio electronic watches came along, everyone thought it was going to destroy the Swiss watch industry, and that industry came along very strongly. I think the customer who's wearing a Patek Philippe watch is probably a little different than wearing the smartwatch, but we'll see how it plays.
Wow.
If I were them, I wouldn't ignore it. I don't think you're there yet, but I certainly wouldn't ignore the fact that there could potentially be a threat, especially if the value added in terms of the functions and features of the product really do deliver something that's unique for the consumer.
Right. So, I mean, just staying on this topic for a minute, would you say that the marketing to a millennial is different than marketing to someone who's 40 plus?
Well, that's a very good question. And what you're finding in millennials, which is about the 18 to 35 year old consumer, right. Everything's on steroids. With that customer is very much into the social, the mobile, the web. Obviously, they're buying more and more on iPads and mobile than they are on the computer. But they like stores as well. They love brands. One of the things that consumer likes even more so than others is experiences. So one of the things you're seeing is restaurants are hot right now. They love to travel. So you're moving away, and they'll shift their purchases from apparel types of things, the Abercrombies of the world, and they'll spend their money on these smartwatches and traveling and going to restaurants. So there's a substantial behavioral difference between the millennial and some of the older generation.
Stephen, we can't thank you enough for the time you've given us for this program. Any final thoughts for the audience?
No, I think that my grandfather's line of "It's a whole new world" is couldn't be more apropos. Technology is driving the change. And what I would say is that there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. And the winners are going to be the ones that invest in the technology, that use analytics, that really understand the changing consumer. And some of the losers are going to be saying this too will pass, and I don't think it is going to pass. It's going to be a continuous period of change.
Wow. Very special thank you to Stephen Sadoff, former chairman and CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, current advisor to many companies, for sharing some really incredible advice and perspective on the retail fashion industry right here on Mind Your Business 77 WABC. Stephen, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Your company website is crucial to your success. Providing information about your services and programs, it has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketing. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back with the Mind Your Business radio show with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. A very special thank you to Stephen Sadoff, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue and current advisor to numerous companies. A really, really incredible perspective that he gave on the retail fashion industry and e-commerce, brick and mortar, so many topics he covered. And if you're just tuning in, you will be able to hear this on the podcast channel. The podcast channel has the shows from so many incredible interviews that we've had over the past few months. And it's all there. The easiest way to find it is go to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. A great website that was built by Website with Brains, and it's up there and has all the information about all our previous shows. Well, at this point, we want to talk about a profile of a project, actually a campaign that was done by Bottom Line Marketing Group. We do that either every week or every couple of weeks, and we have really a great one that we'd like to talk about, and that is the very special exclusive event that was done for Saul N. Friedman and Company when they moved into their brand new headquarters. I'm joined here with Pesach Trapper, the producer of the show. Pesach, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Yeah. First of all, your take on the interview with Stephen Sadoff?
I really, really felt it was excellent. I thought he touched on a lot of points. What, you know, you see, you know, really are trending and are
right.
happening. And we see that, you know, with our own clients, we've seen that
Correct.
Sort of change happening.
Amazing. So maybe you could talk about the Saul N. Friedman, that
okay.
very special upscale event.
Sure. So
yes.
So it's really a what we'd like to talk about today is more about the client retention, and we'll explain how that ties into the event.
Mm-hmm.
We often get asked at Bottom Line, you know, what they can do to you know, keep clients. And overall, it's really a lot of companies. I know, Yitzhak, you're always mentioning this to our clients. The companies and brands underestimate the value or underappreciate the value of existing clients in pursuit of new ones. Companies are looking for new clients, but they're forgetting that they have a client base which can be equally as important to keep them and even to sell them more and to become bigger clients, bigger consumers within their company.
Cool.
So one of our esteemed clients, Saul Friedman and Company, who is one of the most prestigious accounting firms in the area,
mm-hmm.
recently moved into a really, really nice office space.
Their own building.
And we had been having ongoing discussions with them, with their team, to what we can be doing proactively for their marketing efforts. And at one point we realized that this new move, it would be a tremendous opportunity for client retention. Mm-hmm. We set aside, you know, some time to really think this through and strategize and brainstorm in terms of what can be done, what the goal was for showcasing their new office space, because we realized there was opportunity there. And we developed a concept of doing a evening of celebration and appreciation, which also served as a grand opening, as a
correct
event, which would simultaneously be a tool to show appreciation to their clients, their existing
right
clients and professionals they've worked with,
build
while
a bond,
showing
right
while showing all you know showing this incredible new office space, which featured a lot of new high tech amenities
sure
that would make their services even more robust.
Right, and efficient.
So we started from the beginning. The event was rolled out with a really high end, beautifully designed invitation on a ultra heavy cardstock to make that great impression. And those of you out there who are in the printing industry or appreciate a good print, this is on a 48 point. Cardstock, to be exact.
Right, and that with foil stamping, there was and two different types of foils. I think there was an emboss there. I mean, it was something that when someone received it, suddenly they were like, okay, this is going to be a special event.
Right.
I cannot miss it.
Exactly.
And that was communicated through the invitation itself.
Right, and in that note, we used one of Yitzhak's favorite tricks, and I'll hand off to Yitzhak to explain
the value
of that.
We're going
to
share it on the air?
Yes,
okay,
is to deliver it not in regular mail, but in somewhat of a higher class mail, such as FedEx or UPS. And Yitzhak, you explain what the value is.
Yeah, thank you, Pesach. It's really true that the way someone receives something also plays a tremendous role in the communication effect. So, for example, if you're sending something and it comes by mail, that's okay, that's good, and there's a whole discussion about when mail works, when it doesn't, but that I'm not going to touch right now. But if some, do you know there's a big difference, Pesach? If a envelope comes and it's handwritten, the address and information of who it's the intended recipient, it's handwritten, or if it's done by machine. Now, sometimes it's impractical. You're doing a mailing of 100,000 pieces. A bank is not it's not possible to hire someone to write to handwrite the 100,000. Fine, but in certain campaigns, it's recommended if the number is there and you have people with good handwriting around, it does pay to have it handwritten. That increases the chance that the envelope will get opened. Now, take that same trend of thought, and if you need to get through to someone and you send it by red label UPS, you send it by FedEx, your chances are much greater that it will get opened and that it will have a very impressive effect upon the recipient. It's not just something that's just coming by mail. Now, of course, it has to be practical. If, let's say, you're sending only 50, 100, or less, or maybe if the number's higher, depending on the budget for the campaign, then if you send it by a red label UPS or by FedEx, the chances, now, aside from the fact that we'll get past the gatekeeper, because everyone opens a package or something that comes by FedEx or UPS, it almost always reaches the intended recipient, but then also the fact of that it came packaged in such an envelope in such a way increases the chance that the person will be impressed with whatever is inside it.
Yeah, so then beyond the actual invitation, we went and collaborated with an amazing party planner to create the actual event.
Right.
It was just an unbelievable
very
event.
Special.
We everything was every detail was accounted for, and it was really a very
upscale,
successful
right upscale, a great networking event. But all the clients that showed up felt a sense of being appreciated by the firm, Sol and Friedman. They have clients for a very long time. I mean, not even though this was a great retention effort, they themselves, of course, we understand the most important way to have great retention is to service the customer in a great way.
Exactly.
And they do that. I mean, they have. I think they said that one of their first customers joined them 37 years ago. Imagine having a client for 37 years.
Exactly. So we realized that was something that they value a lot, and therefore this event was to really work that and further that effort into their grain of their company. One thing that it's funny, Yitzhak, and we know about it, is that a lot of our, believe it or not, actually, companies overlook a very elementary element to an event. That is having pictures taken.
Mm-hmm.
It happens a lot where we have to be the one to suggest, oh, did you have a photographer? And they're like, oh, that's a good point. Because what happens is it's overlooked and they don't, sometimes, you don't realize. But that has tremendous value. I know you always suggest that when these events happen, that the people that were photographed should be sent a picture of them at the event. It adds an extra touch.
Of course, a touch, and it makes it memorable. So someone that showed up at that event, and then they receive a print in the mail, let's say with a personal note from the executive at the company, and he writes, you know, thank you for joining me on this special day. And there are 2-3 pictures in there. Sometimes you want to get clever, you can say, oh, by the way, what an amazing tie. Or add a little note that shows you put genuine human thought and interest into that person you're sending it to. That scores off the charts. And of course, if it's not photographed, it's history. You missed the boat. You missed the opportunity. You got to get a photographer anytime you have an event. And in fact, most party planners, event planners know it's usually recommended to have 2 quality photographers around. Besides, in case there's a backup, in case there's an issue. By the way, Pesach, I'm not going to say the name of this photographer on the air. A very close associate of mine, professional associate photographer, was taking pictures at a major event. And yes, you're probably guessing it. Yeah, his pants split at the event.
Wow.
Has it really happened, Pesach? I mean, he disappeared for a couple of minutes. George is laughing. George, it happened. I'm not saying the guy's name. I mean, okay, I'll have that respect for the guy. He's a good friend. He's probably tuned in and laughing his head off now. Don't split your pants again. But anyways, that's what happened. Now, fortunately, there was another photographer covering. Now, I'm not just saying that you need 2 photographers because in case your photographer has pants split, that's, I'm just talking about you have different angles. Maybe what I would recommend is have 1 photographer focus on individuals and 1 focus on crowd. There's so many different angles that need to be. We were covering an event for Deershoe at Yad Eliyahu in Israel. We had no less than maybe 7 or 8 photographers, and one had a fisheye lens. He crawled up into the bleachers at the top of the stadium. Someone was focusing down at the dais. There's so many. One was in the crowd to pick up the individuals and the emotion that's captured there. So having multiple photographers is also a good suggestion.
Right. So this event obviously was a tremendous success, a win for everyone. Customers felt rejuvenated. They felt they had a great opportunity to network with other business associates that were also clients there, and it was just an incredible event. And we were there, and we really enjoyed it as well. But in addition to the actual event, we wanted to do something else to, you know, kind of really communicate this sense of community that the firm has to its clients. Mm-hmm. We created a really nice and robust and informative newsletter that was sent out to all their clients, which had updates. It had highlighting some personal, touch to it. It had, latest news that was relevant to their clients. So that was another tool which simultaneously showcased the fact that they were expanded and have reached new heights with their office, with their space, and were able to have new technological capabilities as a firm, while keeping the communication between the clients and the firm strong and keeping up their retention.
Amazing. Great update. And then what we just to mention about the website and
echoing all that was done, right. We created a great website to, you know, upon this new move, to really showcase. We had a photographer.
What's the address if someone wants to go to? I
believe it's snfcode.com. Yeah, yeah. So just to sum up, we have the 3 bottom line action steps based on what we've learned from that experience is don't underestimate or overlook your current clients.
Correct.
Create a memorable experience.
Yep. Yep.
And show clients you care by communicating to them and keeping them updated.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Pesach, for that great wrap-up of a really fantastic campaign that Bottom Line produced. We're going to take a short commercial break and back with Mind Your Business on 77 WABC.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. website with brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back with the Mind Your Business program with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Well, a couple of things I'd love to discuss. First of all, a special thank you to our guest last week, Jack Friedler from Cityview Commercial, for some really great perspective on the real estate market today, brick-and-mortar stores. He even touched on the interplay between e-commerce and brick-and-mortar, which, of course, was discussed earlier this evening with the interview with Steven Sadoff. In case you're just tuning in now, we had Steven Sadoff, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, on. He discussed so many great angles about the retail fashion market. And in case you missed it, it will be available usually by Monday afternoon on our iTunes channel. The iTunes channel includes all the previous podcasts. I want to run through the list of some of them because the list, the names that we have are so impressive, and each one brought such great perspective on how this can help you in your business world, whatever it is. If you're a sole proprietor, you run a small business, whatever role in the business world that you have. The advice from Matt Britton, for example, he was the CEO of MRY and the author of the book Youth Nation. He had great perspective on marketing to millennials, which we also touched on with Steven Sadoff earlier. Captain Sully Sullenberger, the famous pilot who landed Flight U.S. Airways Flight 1549. U.S. Airways, of course, recently had their last flight. But he landed that plane on the Hudson, saving the lives of 155 people. A fantastic interview about leadership, about interaction with your peers, about handling pressure and really staying cool under pressure. If there's someone that could talk about that, it's Captain Sullenberger. We also had on Stephen Aldrich, a senior vice president of applications at GoDaddy. We had Saul and Simeon Friedman, partners at Saul and Friedman and Company, that talked all about acquiring a business, partnerships, all that type of business material. It's discussed in that podcast, all available for free on our iTunes channel, which you can get to easily by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Ira Zlotowicz, president of Eastern Union Funding. We had Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud, and of course, special thanks to them for also sitting in for me a couple of times when I was out on holiday. They had great shows, and it's all available, their shows as well. It's all available on the iTunes channel, which, again, you can access by going to WABCBizRadio.com. We had on Ken Romanzi, the former COO of Ocean Spray Cranberries. We talked about marketing. We talked about Ocean Spray is a very unique company that has and the way the management style works and in the way that the owners and the partners, and he discussed all that. We had Josh Moore, general manager at Uber. He was on a really great interview about technology in today's world. And we had Jeffrey Hazlett, global business celebrity and speaker and best-selling author. I wonder where his book is holding. When we had him on a couple of weeks back, he had sold already 250,000 copies of his book in just 3 weeks. I mean, I don't know if that's a record or certainly close to a record, but it's certainly very, very, very impressive. And that book was called Think Big, Act Bigger. There we go. Think Big, Act Bigger. If you didn't buy it yet, go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, go to a bookstore. It's at local bookstores everywhere. That book, Think Big, Act Bigger, is an incredible perspective on how to think big and act bigger. I mean, I can't say it better than the title itself. And there were so many takeaways from that particular interview. I got a lot of feedback about no one died, right? He talked about there that if let's say there's a problem, there's a challenge, there's a setback. It happens. No one died. Remember, that's what he talked about, that it was just that sometimes there are challenges in life. Don't worry, no sweat. No one died. And the way he talked about that also got great feedback. So that is also available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, I also want to mention that it's not always that we'll share who the guest is going to be in the coming week. But I am going to share it and already start talking about an important teaser. Well, next week we are going to have with us David Yale, the president and COO of JustBorn. Now, just to give you some background on JustBorn, JustBorn is a candy company, actually number nine, the ninth largest candy company in America. And among their products are Hot Tamales, Mike and Ike's, Peeps, Goldenberg's Peanut Chews. I'm sure they're famous to you, and if not to you, certainly to your children. We're going to discuss with them. And among the questions that we're starting to prepare are going to be about the children that are marketed to. Can you market to children? Do you market to children? What are the kind of, I'm going to ask him about that. We are also going to ask him about the role of a company that's been around since 1923. I mean, he's going to be around almost 100 years, the JustBorn company. 100 years, a very long time. They're probably going to have some big celebration coming up in a couple of years. And we're going to discuss that with him. How do you stay relevant? How do you still come up with new ideas and products in order to excite and engage with customers? That's going to be discussed on next week's show. And there's going to be an exciting giveaway. And if you want, you could already enter this week by going to WABCBizRadio.com. That's WABCBizRadio.com. Scroll down, and there is a sweepstakes offer. It's very simple. You just have to follow me on Twitter and enter your email address, and that's it. No strings attached. It's that simple. And we're going to, let me get the paper here, what we're going to be giving away. Oh, wow, this is cool. A Mike and Ike's earbuds and a Mike and Ike's tumblers. By the way, once we're talking about Mike and Ike's, I do plan on questioning him about the famous Mike and Ike campaign. In fact, Pesach, if we could dig it up, I'd love to play that on the air. Okay, Pesach, if we could dig that up, the Mike and Ike's commercial, that famous one where they broke up. I just hope I don't start crying on the air. But that commercial, and of course they got back together, so don't worry, Mike and Ike's are good. Everything's good now. But we're going to have a Mike and Ike's tumblers, a bunch of them, and earbuds, which is going to be a giveaway for anyone that goes to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com, and enters. No strings attached. It's open for anyone. I think you have to be over 13. Well, anyone under 13 who's listening to the show now, anyways, you really should be going to bed. It's late. It's probably almost, 11:53 or something like that at this point. You really should be in bed. And so have your mom enter or your dad enter on your behalf. Well, as we approach the close of the show, I just want to actually thank Jeffrey Hazlett for the way he made a big deal about this. But this show actually broke into the top 10 for males 25 and above. And that's a very, very, very big deal. And, of course, a big thank you to Jose Torres here at 77 WABC, George Flowers, Chris, so many of, and of course, the Pesach Tropper in my office, Meira Bauman, and my whole team at Bottom Line Marketing Group. There's so much that goes into a show, into anything, anytime you're involved in a project, anytime you're making an event. We know how much goes into it. And there's a team. There's like a backstage and a front stage. By the way, that reminds me, we're going to be having Dan Sullivan in a couple of weeks. Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach. He has a great information and perspective on backstage and front stage. We're going to have him on. This show, the preparation for the show is to have the guests that are intriguing to you and that will provide the proper perspective for today's business world. And that's what we pledge to do week in and week out every Sunday night from 11 to 12. And, of course, you can access the podcast, as mentioned a number of times before. Go to WABCBizRadio.com. WABCBizRadio.com. Well, in this particular case, you can also enter. Don't forget to enter into the sweepstakes. You could win a lot of goodies, which is really a special thank you to the JustBorn crew. And of course, that's going to be. We look forward to interviewing David Yale next week. Well, thank you again. As before, we hand it over to Red Eye. Thank you for tuning in to another great edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business. Your company website is crucial to your success. Providing information about your services and programs, it has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.